Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to the Analyst Inside Cricket. We've only had a couple of days off, but time to review the first day of the second Test match at Old Trafford. Simon Mann is on the line and he's in Old Trafford. And presumably, Simon, given that the hotel for this Test match is at the other side of the ground, you've got a slightly longer walk to the commentary box.
Yeah, a bit longer for this game. I'm not particularly onerous, it has to be said. About a 3-4 minute walk around the ground from just left of the old pavilion as you look out from the old pavilion at Old Trafford to the far end, the new media centre. So, yeah, you know, they're making us work for our money in this game by making us go that far to work in the morning.
I'm a bit sorry that we still don't use the old pavilion, actually. That's where the players used to come out of, the one with the turrets. That's a lovely old pavilion. That's where they had the visitors' dressing room was in the lower ground, sort of just above kind of ground level. And then the home team's dressing room was above. And you could sort of hear them. The Lancashire team were always a bit of a rabble. And you could hear them sort of bantering and maybe even arguing. And they had a sort of very strange setup in the dressing rooms, in the home dressing rooms at Old Trafford. They had a sort of main dressing room and then a captain's room and a second team room. So it was a bit elitist, really. At least now they're all in one room together. Though I notice in the newsstand, where obviously the dressing rooms are now, it has maximum 13 persons allowed. So how the hell they manage that with all the extra personnel, you know, staff, assistants that they have in a team now, I don't know.
It's a very different setup here at Old Trafford, and it has a different feel about it as well. We'll get on to the cricket in just a moment, but the lockdown side of it, and that is actually pertinent, of course, to the news about Jofra Archer. Lovely setting at the Aegeus Bowl as well, you know, the sense of being in the countryside, and you know, you could actually go out and walk on the golf course or go and run on the golf course. Here you feel a bit more closed inside the city, and you know, I think it's fair to say Old Trafford is not the most attractive cricket ground in the world. And I think we sort of really sensed it, the sense, that feeling today of you know, of cricket being played without a crowd. I think it probably needed a crowd today to sort of lift it a bit. I wonder whether England could have played like that if there had been, you know, 15,000 people in the ground, whether people would have got a bit agitated and just wanted a bit of action, a bit of drama, really, because there wasn't a great deal in the game. In a way, the real drama today happened before play started, when, you know, we all got a WhatsApp at 8 o'clock on our sort of group WhatsApp saying that Jofra Archer had been ruled out of the game because he'd broken the lockdown regulations.
Yeah, and it's interesting, but almost at the same time as that announcement was made, the new cricket magazine dropped on my doormat, and it's a picture of Jofra Archer on the front cover, and then it says, the headline of the issue is "Falling in Love Again, Re-engaging Black Britons with the Game." So it's an issue all about the Black Lives Matter campaign and various people, different people writing about it. Mike Brearley, actually, interestingly, on the art of managing black cricketers, of which he had a lot of experience in the 70s and 80s, and has a round table, which we've sort of featured on this podcast before, of various people talking about the future and how to re-engage the black community. And obviously Jofra Archer is the symbol of that, New Britons, in a way. He's a symbol of New Britons. And what he was thinking, not complying with the biosecure arrangements and staying in the bubble, I can't imagine going home to Brighton, given what all these players and staff and administrators have put in to getting these games on and being so careful. And you can reflect on that, having experienced it and been through the whole process. I mean, it's really selfishness beyond extreme, or just kind of madness in a way.
Yeah, not least the West Indies team, who have been, you know, locked down, have come over here and they've been locked down since, you know, the first week of June. They've really committed to the tour and committed to the regulations. And it, you know, it is must be hugely frustrating for the organisers this has happened. And West Indies, you know, they've accepted the measures that the ECB have put into place, both this tour, and they also, you know, had to accept the measures that England have put in place to sort of isolate Jofra Archer. I mean, basically, he has to sort of isolate for 5 days, which is, you know, not great fun at all. You know, in a ground like Old Trafford, and you know, it must be desperately frustrating for them. I mean, they, you know, in a way, they could have said, well, actually, hold on, we've been locking down. Does this put the whole tour in jeopardy? And I suppose, you know, in a sense, it could have put the tour in jeopardy. It's an odd one, really. I mean, the only thing I would say, and you know, we are in a slightly different bubble, of course we are, to the team, is that the broadcasters were allowed to go home between test matches. You know, we were expected to, you know,
yeah, you had to go
careful.
And do your karate, didn't you?
Well, I could have done that from the hotel, to be fair, but you know, we were expected to, you know, take measures when we're at home. You know, we couldn't sort of go out and meet lots of people. You know, we were expected to be very careful about who we met and what we did. And, you know, you hope that people did that as we all came together again for this test match. Having said that, we are in a sort of, you know, we are in a different bubble from the team. There is interaction, but, you know, generally speaking, you know, if you're interviewing, you know, you're at 2 metres distance and that sort of thing. So it is a slightly different case. But, yeah, I mean, Joe Root back in the side, and you know, in England looking to get back in the series, and then you know they picked the squad with Archer in it, and then this came to light late last night, and then this morning the news that he was removed from the squad. You know, it does sort of throw your plans up in the air a bit, of course, because people, you know, certain people expect to play and certain people don't, and you know, on we go. He, you know, in a way. He will have clearly got the message, and you know, he has also that frustration of just having to isolate for 5 days, all for a trip home. Yeah, frustrating and odd, really. Odd why you would take that risk.
Yeah, and the best way of punishing him, by the way, would be to take his Xbox away from him, because he's a fearsome competitor on FIFA. So to have to be stuck in a hotel room without any of his games to play would be really awful. I suppose he's actually just been sat in his hotel room, so at least he can watch the game through the window or off the balcony. Has there been any sight of him?
No, well, that's the thing as well. I mean, probably today, I mean, there would probably be photographers looking for him to appear, but there were, I don't know, I didn't see any sightings of him during the day's play. I mean, you talk about punishment. You know, I think clearly the message will have got through. The punishment is not playing and potentially letting your teammates down and the opposition down as well, who've really committed to this tour. And you're right, all the people that have tried to put the measures in place to organise this tour and to get cricket on, which, you know, everybody's really thankful for. I would say everybody's enjoying. I'm not sure today was such an enjoyable day's test cricket, but there you go. You know, we have days like that in test cricket. So, so that's the real punishment, I think, for Jofra Archer.
And I don't want to say it was a punishment watching the game today, because it's important that England do apply these sort of basic rules to try and build scores. Everybody's been clamouring for England to get big first innings totals of over 400, which they've singularly failed to do for the last couple of years or so. Today, 207 for 3 from 82 overs. You have to hand it to Dominic Sibley, 86 not out, 253 balls faced, a strike rate of 33, but he just keeps playing his way. I noticed he was very good at, you know, he's obviously a naturally abstinent sort of guy, but he resisted the temptation to try and flick at those balls down the leg side, which had got him out a few times in previous innings. He was able to pick off just the balls on about middle stump. His judgment of what to leave and what to play, excellent. That forces the bowlers to go a bit straighter. And then he was able to score on the leg side. And he's got that uncanny knack. Even when they put about four men on the leg side, he seems to be able to find a little gap between them. I still think he could find a bit more fluency. And, you know, he doesn't look the finished article by any means. But I think he's got the semblance there of someone who sticks to his own game plan. And that's very valuable.
Well, it was a tremendous effort of patience. I mean, look, he's not a player of beauty. He's not, you know, a player like David Gower or Joe Root, or you know, even someone like Geoffrey Boycott, who was, you know, he was a defensive minded player, Geoffrey, but he had some, you know, he had some lovely offside shots, you know, that square drive of his, the, you know, the drive down the ground through mid on, he could, you know, he could pull and could cut, but you know, even that, you know, he's not sort of as aesthetically pleasing as you know, even someone like that. But he has got a method, and you know, fair play to him. He stuck to it. You know, it takes a it takes a tremendous amount of discipline and concentration to play in that manner. And what he has done is he's put England in a decent position in this match. I mean, they were put into bat. I felt at the time actually when they were put in, I felt like it was a it felt like a good toss to lose. But England have had to work really hard to make it so today. The pitch actually looked, from a distance, we're not allowed to go on it, actually looked, you know, really uniform and true. There was no green in it. It looked like a good pitch on which to bat. The overheads were the thing that West Indies were looking at, I think. Although, having, you know, once the game got underway, I think we realised there was just a bit of tackiness. And Roston Chase was able to exploit that to some extent. He got the ball to grip a bit, although the one that Burns was LBW to, okay, it probably just straightened a bit to get onto that front pad, but Rory Burns was playing for quite a lot of turn, so there was a bit of turn out there. So you know, it's not an absolute sort of flat belting pitch. It looked good from a distance, and we often see very good pitches, good batting pitches here at Old Trafford. So it's very much about the overhead. So you know, England, you know, in a difficult situation, they had to work at it. Not a thrilling first day, I think it's fair to say. But here's a little stat for you, Yoz. Australia after the first day of the Ashes Test of 1981 at Headingley were 203 for 3. England are 207 for 3. So it just shows you what can happen. You can have you know, a hard working day at the Test match, but who knows what's around the corner? All sorts of thrills and spills could be round the corner. Fingers crossed, anyway.
So what year was that Headingley Test?
Headingley 81, the famous Headingley 81 Test match.
Yeah, so unfortunately Australia lost that test.
Well, that's true, but the point I'm making is you can have a, you know, you can have a hard working sort of workmanlike first day, but around the corner you can have some real excitement. And you know, I think that, yeah, we need a bit more excitement than we had today, but the base has been built, and that's what England have been looking for. We all know that England have been looking at it, that sort of thing, for so long. I mean, Sibley, they know what he's capable of. They watched him in, you know, in county cricket, eating up ball after ball after ball. They know what he's capable of. That's why they've picked him, and that's what he's produced today. So, you know, he has stuck to the game plan. Okay, England might have scored quicker. They, you know, 82 overs have been bowled, so, you know, we're in new ball territory, which could be a threat in the morning. But those runs are on the board, and you know, batting last might be quite tricky on this Old Trafford pitch.
Mm, yeah, I agree, actually. I think it's just the ball maybe has made a few indentations and it's still nipping around a bit. There's a little bit of swing, even with the very old 82 overall old ball, it's still seaming around. Poor old Kemar Roach, he's bowled something like 80 overs so far in the series, gone past the bat about 40 times and hasn't yet taken a wicket in the series, poor guy.
Well, what do you think, when you think at the start, our preview podcast, there was you and there was me and there was Fazeer Mohammed. So what are we looking forward to in this series? You said you thought Dominic Sibley was going to be the standout man for England, not scored a run. Fazeer was saying he was looking at Kemar Roach getting up to 200 wickets. He's not taken a wicket. And I was looking forward to Jofra Archer bowling at West Indies, not playing in this Test match and potentially not playing in the next one as well, although he did bowl very well in the second innings down at the Aegeus Bowl.
The other thing, the other sort of quite interesting thing is that this Cricketer magazine is very much focused on the Black Lives Matter, as I say, and kind of re-engaging different communities with cricket, and obviously focusing on South Asia as or the South Asian community as well as the black community, and making the English team truly diverse, as the one-day side obviously was. And you look at the team that England have picked today, and it's all white, ironically. But that's partly because obviously Archer made himself unavailable. Anyway, different attack for England to field when they eventually get out onto the field themselves. So who would have guessed that Anderson, Archer and Wood would be replaced by Curran, Wokes and Broad? But I suppose the nature of these test matches close together is such that they can, you know, rotate these bowlers. 207 for 3, I guess 400 is the target.
You'd think so, wouldn't you, from the position they built. And also, they, you know, back Sibley as well, the innings today, it just takes some energy out of the West Indies bowlers, back-to-back test matches. Shannon Gabriel today went off the field for a while. He was sort of just stretching, you know, who knows how fit he is. It is a question of wearing the opposition down. Here's another little stat for you. When was the last time, do you think, it's not an easy question to answer, when was the last time in England played a test match without either Archer, Wood or Anderson?
In England?
In England. I'll put you out of your misery, Oz. It's not an easy question to answer. It was 4 years ago. So this is a very new look sort of England attack with none of those three in the attack. It was 2016, Pakistan at Lord's. Wokes, Broad, Ball and Finn was England's pace attack.
Jake Ball, what's happened to him? Steve Finn is obviously still playing. Well, they're both still playing, but totally out. And, you know, another bowler that has totally disappeared is Toby Rowland-Jones as well, who played pretty prominently for England in that about 2017, 2018 sort of time, and then had an injury and hasn't played since. So it's interesting, the turnover of fast bowlers, but somehow Anderson is still in the mix. It's incredible.
Yeah, and Broad back as well. It'll be fascinating to see how Stuart Broad bowls in this test match. Very unhappy to be left out in the last game at Southampton. You do have that slight feeling that England would prefer to have had the attack they had at Southampton for this match and the attack they had for this match at Southampton.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You know, you can't rewrite history. England have got what they've got. They've got Wokes and Broad and Curran as their three main bowlers, and then Stokes and Best to support them. It might be that, you know, Dominic Best has more opportunity in this game, gets to bowl more overs in the second innings. He didn't bowl very many overs in the second innings on Sunday because of the way the game was going. He was a bit unlucky with a couple of LBW decisions. What it also does as well is it gives England a much longer tail. Stuart Broad coming in at number 11 and Dom Best, who batted 8 in the last game, is in at 10. So there's a chance
for England. So you mean a better tail rather than a longer tail, really?
Well, sorry, yeah, I meant actually, yeah, you're right, a better tail, yeah. A longer batting lineup is what I mean. And, you know, so they have got the chance tomorrow to build on what they've done today. We talk about Best, actually. I mean, Stokes was incredibly disciplined as well. He didn't score particularly quickly. And it'll be interesting to see whether he's able to go through the gears a bit tomorrow. There's a really interesting battle between him and Jason Holder, where Holder was bowling outside the off stump, relentlessly outside the off stump, and Stokes was not playing ball after ball after ball. Mm. And it just shows that development in his batting now. He's a top-class test match player. He's a good defensive player
very
as well
good.
As
Holder bowled some ones that swinging into him from round the wicket, and he defended them right off the middle of the bat. Then he left the ones swinging the other way. Highly disciplined, highly accomplished. A very slow scoring rate, 37 per 100 balls, but he's still there, 59 not out. Excellent, well played to England. A good position to be in after the first day. Okay, that's it. Just to remind you, the Cricketer magazine that I mentioned before is now out. This is a really quite compelling issue. You can subscribe to it by going to www.thecricketer.com/subscribe, and it really is a fascinating issue with lots of really interesting writers. So look out for that, subscribe to it, and get it posted straight to your doorstep. Okay, thanks for your time, Timon, and you can pop downstairs now and have your dinner on your own, I suppose.
That's about the top and the bottom of it. Yeah, we have tables on your own, and you can sort of see everyone spread out in front of you, and it does feel a very strange setup here. And the other thing as well, you know, you have to book your time for dinner as well. Mm. It's not like down at the Aegeus Bowl where you just turn up and sit down. You have to book your time here and then wait about half an hour or so while they cook your food. But, you know, at least cricket is going on. It's great to have cricket. Although, you know, I think we're all hoping, I think, for a more compelling day tomorrow and the next 4 days. This test match after what was an attritional day today, I think it's fair to say.
Okay, well, go and talk to the wall. In fact, it's probably a blessing in disguise, not having anyone to talk to after talking all day. So go and just sit quietly and contemplate tomorrow. And we'll speak to you then. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Podcast Network.